أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وفي حديث صحيح متفق عليه عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي عملي أحب إلى الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة على وقتها ثم قلت ثم أجل وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بر الوالدين قلت ثم أجل وقال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الجهاد في سبيل الله My beloved brothers and sisters, and they witness openly that there is nothing where they worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This statement, you will say on top of the mountain, for all the world to know, in this country in America, in Europe, in the East, in Africa, in Asia, everywhere, La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah the Almighty. Now they witnessed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without a doubt, is the messenger of Allah. No messengers, no prophets came after him, the seal of the prophets. We seek refuge with Allah from the weakness of our own selves. Brothers and sisters, know especially now that whoever Allah guides is guided aright and in His mercy. And whomever Allah allows to be in darkness, no one can take him out of the darkness except Allah Himself. We seek refuge with Allah, we ask for His help, His forgiveness, and realize that no one can help us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah's peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we, the Muslims, love to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, because Allah and His angels send blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We send blessings on his family, and the great Sahaba, and the Muslims everywhere. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I dedicate today's khutbah especially to the youth, young brothers and sisters. I dedicate this khutbah for any of you who are fortunate enough to have one parent or both parents alive today, or even grandparents. I dedicate this khutbah for any of you who are blessed to have had Muslim parents who have died. And then I dedicate this khutbah for all of you parents who have children. And finally, those of you who are not yet married or don't yet have children, I dedicate this khutbah to you. Especially, I want to dedicate this khutbah to our 38 young brothers and one sister, who in a few days, inshallah, will be going from this country to go to Turkey to study in that country in Muslim schools with Muslim teachers. I dedicate this khutbah especially for them. Brothers and sisters, once again, America has done it. She has proven again that she is unworthy of leadership. Once again, you know, brothers and sisters, that the American political system is corrupt. If you study American economic system, if you read, you will see that the economic system is bankrupt. If you're smart enough to be reading, to see what's going on in this country right now, you will see that her judicial system is unworthy of giving guidance to anyone. You heard last week, coming out of Orlando, Florida, for the first time in the history of this nation, a minor took his parents to court to sue them for divorce. And a young boy, 12 years old, was granted a divorce, a separation of the legal rights of his parents over him by a judge in Orlando, Florida, 12 years old. This, brothers and sisters, seems to sound like a joke. It's funny. It's cute. I don't see it as funny. I don't see it as cute. I see it as undermining that sacred bond and relationship that Allah has put between the parents and the children. And you know, brothers and sisters, watch. I predict that this landmark case will open the floodgate, and you're going to see many cases of children now wanting to divorce themselves from their parents, and now their precedent from this case coming out of Orlando, Florida. In fact, just yesterday in the newspaper, you read of another young girl filing the same case now against her parents. She wants to separate herself from her parents. Brothers and sisters, even I read the newspaper, this young boy, after he won the case, His name is Kingsley, Gregory Kingsley. When the case was over, his lawyer came to him and gave him a hat, baseball hat, with the name Sean Ross. Ross, the name of his new parents, his adopted parents. So he got rid of the name of Kingsley, the name that his father had given to him. While Allah says in the Quran, and call them by their father's name. Brothers and sisters, always follow the guidance of Quran and Sunnah, and you won't go wrong. In this society, we have a tradition. In the American society, there's a tradition. When a man marries a woman, she takes on his name. This has nothing to do with Islam. This is not an Islamic tradition. What happens if a woman divorces her husband? Does she give him back his name and then take on the name of a new husband? I know a sister, Muslim sister, in Islam, has been married 12 times. Does that mean each time she marries, each time her husband dies, and she marries a new husband, does she then take on his name? If you would study the tradition of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and Islam, you will see Aisha radiallahu anha, Zawjat al-Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you will find out she was never called Aisha Abdullah. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the name Muhammad Abdullah. She never called Aisha Abdullah, never. She was Aisha bint Abu Bakr. Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, Zawjat al-Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the wife of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anywhere you read in the history of Islam, you don't find women taking the names of their husbands. Always call them by the names of their fathers, and the daughters will always be known by the names of their fathers. And when the granddaughter or daughter has children, then those children will be called by the name of their father. And this is the beauty of Islam. Brothers and sisters, today's khutbah, I want to give us admonition. And I want you to listen, you young brothers, 38 of you, who are going to Turkey. You're going to an environment, alhamdulillah, there's Muslims there, non-Muslims there. And hopefully in the area that they'll be going, a place called Izmir, in Turkey. They will be studying on the alims, and they will not only learn science, mathematics, and chemistry, history, inshallah, they learn Quran, they learn Sunnah, they learn Arabic language, they learn Aqidah, they learn Fiqh, they learn the Islamic subjects, and inshallah, these young brothers will be balanced, and they will come back learning much. Turkey, the place that they're going, is the place where the last Khalifa was, so-called Ottoman Empire. Three continents of Muslims under one leadership, under the Khalifa, and the last Khalifa was in this area, Turkey. So brothers and sisters, I would like to give them some admonition and some admonition from the rest of us. I want to remind you that of all the things that we've seen in Turkey, some things good, some things bad. And brothers and sisters, I've come to recognize that all of us, we fail in some way. Every Muslim country, every Muslim, we have weaknesses and we have to admit it. I'm not going to tear down Turkey. Turkey has some very wonderful things about it. There are some things in Turkey that's not so good. And those areas that are not good, we try to improve it. Same thing with Saudi Arabia, same thing with Pakistan, all of the Muslim countries, everywhere, there's some weakness, and inshallah, we as Muslims try to make it better, inshallah. But one thing I found in Turkey, and I found in Sudan, I found in Egypt, I found in Saudi Arabia, in the East, Mid-Eastern countries, I found one thing in common. All of the children had a profound respect for their parents. You find that in every Muslim country, alhamdulillah. And you know, brothers and sisters, our children are going over there, not only they're going there as Muslims, but I hate to tell you what I'm about to tell you. You may not like me for saying it to you, but they're also going there as Americans. Now why did I say that? Brothers and sisters, the American culture has so influenced us that many of us have the American culture and don't even know it. Some of us call ourselves
Muslim, American Muslim. But believe me, brothers and sisters, it's shame me to say this, but many of us are more American than Muslim. And so some of us, our children, might be going over there to Turkey, over there to Senegal, over there to Morocco, over there to Pakistan, wherever they're going, they might take some of the American culture, bad, negative American culture, with them. We pray that they don't. One of the things that they may take over there with them, where they don't tolerate in Turkey and other Muslim countries, they do not tolerate children being disobedient to their parents. And when our children go to Turkey, my own son and father, it may be that when you go there, that those children will be better than you in math and science and chemistry, it may be. It might even be that they may excel you in the Arabic language, even in recitation of Al-Quran, it may be. But one thing we cannot tolerate is that you are excelled in character. There's no excuse why we can't develop good character and especially obedience toward our parents. Now the subject. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And worship Allah and do not associate with Him anything. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be kind to your parents. This order to be kind to parents is found throughout the Quran. It is especially found after the order to worship Allah alone and not to associate God with Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be obedient to our parents and to be kind to our parents. In one verse of the Quran, even Allah said to us not to say to our parents, oof. Don't even say oof to your parents, but be obedient. One of the Sahaba, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man by the name of Abi Abdul Rahman Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayyul amali ahabbu illallah, which deed, which action is most loved by Allah the Almighty? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as-salatu ala waqtiha, prayer on time. This statement, prayer on time, means, according to the scholars, it means when the prayer first comes in, or it means when while the prayer is in. That deed most loved by Allah is prayer on time. Brothers and sisters, don't be like the hypocrites who wait for the sun about to rise, and then they go run and make Fajr Salat. Don't be like the hypocrite. When the door prayer is about to end and Asr is about to come in, they go run and make Salatul Dhuhr. Don't be like the hypocrite when the sun is about to set to run and go make Salatul Maghrib. But let us try to be like those who make the Salat as much as we can when it first comes in, at least don't let it go out. Umma ayyu. Qultu, I said, then what? Umma ayyu. Then what deed most loved by Allah? Wa qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, birru walidain. To be obedient to your parents. Umma ayyu. Qultu, I said, then what? He said, al jihad fi sabilillah. And brothers and sisters, you may say, you mean to tell me that you get a bigger reward? It is more loving by Allah that you be obedient to your parents than even jihad fi sabilillah? Yes, it is. I'll go a step further. A man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I take bay'ah to you. I'm ready to make hijrah for you, to migrate from one place to the other, which is far for me. I'm ready to make migration, and I'm ready to do jihad fi sabilillah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, is any of your parents alive? He said, yes, both of them. The Prophet Muhammad said, go and do kind service to your parents. He let him get out of the hijrah, out of the jihad, and to go give service to his parents. Why? You mean to tell me he abandoned jihad to do service for his parents? Why? Yes. Why? Brothers and sisters, it's very easy. And oh, alhamdulillah for the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he makes things so plain for us so we can understand priority. Do you know, brothers and sisters, making salat 5 times a day is farz, but it's farz ayn. Farz ayn means it is the responsibility of every Muslim to make salat. Farz ayn, every one of you. I can't make it for you. My children can't make salat for me. Salat is farz ayn. And then there's some things that's not farz ayn. Farz kifaya. It's not farz ayn, but it's farz kifaya. What does that mean? That means that everybody don't have to do it, but some have to do it. For instance, when a Muslim dies and we give janazah, does every Muslim have to attend the janazah for that one person that died? No, it's impossible. We can't make every janazah everywhere. So in our religion, it's farz kifaya. Some Muslims have to do it. So it is with jihad fi sabilillah. Every Muslim don't have to do jihad. It's farz kifaya. But to obey your parents is farz ayn. Every child must be obedient to their parents. How long should you be obedient? 7 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old? No, it doesn't matter. I don't care how old you are. As long as your parent or parents are alive, you must be obedient to them. And the only exception that Allah gives us, if our parents tell us to do something against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to obey them. Allah tells us in the Quran. If they make you to associate gods with Allah, don't obey them, but still treat them with kindness. So brothers and sisters, I say to you as I sit down, يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى وَعَبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That is, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not associate anything with Him, and be kind to our parents. Brothers and sisters, I want us today, inshallah, your parents are alive, Muslim or non-Muslim, go do them some good service. My brothers from Sudan and Senegal and Guinea, those brothers who traveled from Bangladesh and Pakistan and India, wherever you came from, Egypt, even from the islands, if your mother and father back home, if you haven't spoken to them in a while, pick up the phone, pay the extra money, and tell your mother and father how much you love them. This is big ibadah, this is big worship for us, to obey our parents and give them kindness. And you'd be surprised, brothers and sisters, how often our parents are waiting for us just to stop by or pick up a phone and say to them, As-salamu alaykum, ya Abi, ya Umi, I love you. Let's do that today, inshallah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين أما بعد brothers and sisters I was very sad
read in the newspaper the other day about some of our parents who are actually being abused by their children. Abusive parents is something that we don't hear much about in this country. You hear about abusive children or abused wives and children, but you don't hear too often about abused parents. You know, brothers and sisters, that in 1 year, last year, there were reported 1.5 million cases of parents abused by their children. They have support groups of mothers, old mothers, elderly mothers, and fathers who come together, 65 years old, 70 years old, 75 years old, just to give support to one another and tell about the cases of abuse of their children. Do you know how many cases of children who come to their parents and taken from them, stolen from their parents? One parent, in fact, a woman, is a widow, lives by herself. She went to her house and saw all the furniture gone. Where the furniture, her son sold it to get money for drugs. Women beaten up by their sons and daughters, oppressed. And brothers and sisters, you know why? Because this system that we live in, everything about it is wrong. It undermines everything sacred to us. And I would like to leave you, brothers and sisters, with some guidance from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said this, رغم أنف ثم رغم أنف ثم رغم أنف من أدرك أبويه عند الكبر أحدهما أو كليهما فلم يدخل الجنة. May his face be or nose be rubbed in the dust. May his nose be rubbed in the dust. May his nose be rubbed in the dust. Who? Those who find one or both their parents approach an old age and they do not enter Jannah. That's a very deep hadith. May this young man or this woman, may their nose be pressed in the dust. It's a dua that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making against them. Why? Because they did not earn Jannah, paradise, as a result of serving their parents who have reached old age. What a beautiful hadith. This hadith is teaching us that one of the ways to go to Jannah is to give khidmah or service to your parents. And brothers and sisters, I'd like to close this khutbah with subhanAllah, a hadith that I read from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for some reason, now is the time that it really touched me. And listen, and this is the crux of our talk today, or Billahi Daini, Ihsana, and be kind to your parents. Listen to this, the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu an, from Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, qala, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزي ولد والده. A son cannot pay back his father. A son cannot pay back his father for what his father has done for him. He cannot. لا يزي ولد والده. A son can never pay back his father, إلا except one exception. إلا يجده مملوكه.
unless he finds his father a slave. Finds his father a slave, then buys him. And then set him free. A son can never repay his father for all that his father has done for him. Never!
And then he goes and he buys
his father's freedom.
And then he sets his father free. You know something? I have gone around this country. In almost every state I go to, some Muslim comes to me, not from this country, but Muslim from other countries. They have a dilemma. Young brothers and sisters, they have a dilemma. Brothers for us, young brother from Pakistan. I fell in love with a Muslim sister, an African-American sister in my school. I want to marry her. My mother, my father won't let me marry her. What should I do? Young Muslim from Egypt. Brother Faraja, I found a European-American sister, a white, a Muslim woman. I want to marry her. I love her. She loves me. I want to take care of her. But my father said, no, I must marry an Egyptian. And you know what? Everywhere I go, the same thing happens.
What to do?
In this society, most people, they do what they want to do.
Young girls elope. Mother and father never get the privilege of even attending a wedding. I know cases like that. Young girl runs away. Father said, no, don't marry that boy. I love him. No, girl, don't marry that boy. Now, Dad, I love him.
Then she go off. She get married, move to another state, move to another country.
What to do? Defy your parents? Well, Dad, I know what you said, but you don't understand. This is America. That's my choice. And I'm going to marry that woman no matter what you say. So what do I tell these young brothers and sisters from Pakistan and from Egypt?
You know what I tell them? Have patience, but obey your parents.
What are you saying, Brother Saraj? You need to tell me if the child is in love with somebody they want to marry, you say obey the parents, don't marry them? Yes, why? To get married is sunnah. To obey your parents is fard. You don't have to marry that woman. You can marry another woman. You don't have to marry that boy. You can marry another boy. But I love him. But do you love your parents? Despite what they say, you'll never be divorced from your parents. You may marry that girl and get divorced the next week. But your parents, you must obey them until Yom Kippur. Some parents say, and if you marry that girl, I'll never look at you again. Never.
Oh, but Brother Saraj, you see, this is the backwardness of Islam. No. Not the backwardness of Islam. You don't understand. And I'll show it to you.
Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma married a woman, and he said, I love her. I love her. But my father, Umar ibn Khattab, hated her. He said, divorce.
No, why?
He said, Umar ibn Khattab, you know what I'm saying? Umar ibn al-Khattab, you know him? You know of him? Oh! His son Abdullah married a woman whom he loved, his father said, divorce her. He didn't do it. And then Abdullah radiallahu anhuma went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, my father said that I should divorce that woman!
What did the prophet say? He didn't ask questions. He said, divorce her.
You have to know something about Umar ibn Khattab. He wanted his son to divorce his woman for deen.
For deen, for religion, not for the next. Don't divorce her because her skin is black or white, or to come from this country or this culture or that. But divorce for real reason. And it is understood that Umar ibn Khattab would not tell his son to divorce for frivolous reasons. And the Prophet Muhammad simply said, divorce her. After having been married, don't stop there. Go to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, who told Ismail, kill his wife, divorce the woman. Ismail just said, I wonder why, no, my father said divorce her. Woman, go back to your mother. Go back to your father, I divorce you. My father, the messenger of Allah said to divorce you. Now go. Ibrahim alayhi salam was why. Now, brothers and sisters, let's go to the crux of the matter and see the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's see the wisdom. No man can repay his father except that he finds him a slave and buys him and then set him free. You want to pay back your father? Ain't no way, man. Unless he winds up being a slave, you buy him a freedom. Why did the Prophet give that perfect analogy to Allah? And you notice, he didn't even say anything about mother. How you pay back your mother? How you pay back a woman who kept you in her womb, man, for 9 months with pain and pain to deliver you? How you pay her back? You who give your mother problems, you who live off your mother now as an old man, how you pay her back? He didn't even mention mother, he mentioned your father. Why? You know why, man? You know why he said, unless you find your father slave? Because when you think about it, brothers and sisters, your mother and father was a slave for you. Give me a better definition of a slave. Here's a woman now. I was on a plane going to Europe on the way to England at night. A mother from the East had a baby. The baby was crying on the plane. Everybody can hear the baby crying. The mother sees it first, then changed the diaper first. Baby's still crying. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, people trying to sleep. In fact, people sleeping, but mother's gone. Uh-huh. She was up in her arms with the baby, rocking the baby in her arms. Everybody's sleeping, the mother half sleeping herself. She walking out of her arms with the baby, trying to comfort the baby. But not only that. Look, brother. We are babies. And our mother came running, came into us. Every time you open up our mouth, whine, whine, heck, come mother running. Mother don't get no sleep at night. Every 2 hours, she's feeding you and I. How do you pay mother back? Not only that, dad, a good father, don't have much, but he goes work as slaves for his family. Go work hard, 2 jobs, why? For the family. Don't care nothing about himself only. I've seen mothers and fathers go years not buying one pair of shoes, but always buying new shoes for the baby, for the children. I've seen mothers deprive themselves of food to feed their babies. I've seen mothers sacrifice themselves, sacrifice their lives for their children. How you pay back a mother and father for all that they've done for us? They slaved for us. They did everything for us. They lived for us. Now, how you pay them back? Show them kindness. Don't even say oops to them. But my mother is a pastor. My mother is a mistress. My father is a drunkard. So what?
By the grace of Allah, only he saved you from it. Even Asma, bint Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, he said, my mother, she was a mushrik. She came from Mecca to visit me in Medina. She wants something from me, can I give her? He said, yes, please give her. Be kind to your parents, even pagans. Maybe through your service of them, they'll come to Islam, maybe. But even if they never come to Islam, let them be on their deathbed and you serving them. Mom, can I get anything else for you? Let your mother and father be on their deathbed and you be there with them. Let them be in the hospital, you be there with them. Go on and buy some food and groceries for your mom and dad. My brother eats pork. But why don't you go to the halal meat market and buy her some halal food and take it to her? She eats. Why don't you go visit them and give them, shower them with love and affection?
So brothers and sisters, I say to you, it's a trial. You love the woman. But your parents are special.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you only as a child, you obeying them because you want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, parents, don't let us be a trial for our children. Give them guidance, but look over the girl and the boy they intend to marry. And give them nasiha. And then we must remind them of their rights of their father and their mother.
So that when that young girl, 14 years old,
14 years old, sees an experienced guy on the street who rap to our daughters,
and our daughters fall in love.
If they have within them the adab of Islam, let me go to my father and see what my father say about this young man. Come, boy. You want to marry me? Come see my father.
Well, I just want to take you out.
Yes, you can take me out. Come on, let's go out. Me, you, and my father. You want to see my daughter? Fine. Come on and meet me.
No, I don't want to see you. I just want to see your daughter. I bet you do. And you know what? A lot of these young guys out here are going to get themselves hurt. Blessing with these beautiful virgin Muslim daughters. That we growing up trying to purify them.
Saving them for some good Muslim man to marry one day. Then all these sick guys come around like dogs sniffing.
Therefore, brothers, fathers, don't abdicate our responsibility.
And our right, it's my right to see the boy.
And let's keep our right. For young children, I say this to you, from this day forward, you better obey your parents. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the biggest sin is to worship God with Allah and then to be disobedient to your parents. That's how big a sin it is. So mothers and fathers, let us teach our children respect for the parents. School teachers. Inshallah, soon we're going to start our school back here in this community. Let's make sure that these children understand every class. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْءَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Worship Allah alone, associate nothing with Him, and be kind and dutiful to our parents. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواج محمد وعلى ذريات محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا
ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا اخطانا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة انك انت الوهاب. ربنا انك من ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. والحمد لله رب العالمين.